was there, and she had a dysentery, and she had to run to the toilet very often. And Baba said to her, Baba was going out on a trip, and Baba wanted to take her with him. And he said, you've got to join us. And she had dysentery, and every few minutes she had to run to the toilet. And Baba says, this was the time, old blue bus timing, you know, when Baba used to go out for must trips in the blue bus. And Baba said, you've not got to sit on the seat. Baba put a small stool for her in the middle of the bus and said, you sit on that. And she obeyed. And Baba said, the first stop will be after 3 or 4 hours. The bus will not stop till then. And she said, yes, Baba. And she sat there and obediently disappeared. Obedience. Some things on... Oh, it's 9:45. Well, I think I'll be seeing you all again tomorrow. At least I hope to. Somewhere, sometime, if possible. We can tell you, we can go on telling you these stories one after another. If you read the small book, Compassionate Father, I don't know if it's come to Washington already. There are lots of stories there also, but these are different ones. I'll tell you something on love. Some really touching ones on love. Okay. This was at Guru Prasad also. Baba was giving darshan, and that was the last day of the darshan. You know, in the summer months, every weekend I'd be going there. And this was the last day, because after that Baba was to return back to Mirza. And 5 o'clock the darshan was to finish. And at 4 o'clock we looked at the clock, and we were feeling very sorry that an hour only more and Baba would be going away. And we'd see him again after a year or so. Maybe he'd call us in between. But more or less, every time he came to Guru Prasad, we'd come there. So we thought for a year we wouldn't be seeing Baba. Exactly at 5 o'clock, Baba said, program over, all of you leave. And nobody left. Everybody stood there, you know. They got up, but they didn't want to go, because they wanted to see Baba even for the last few minutes before he went into his room. So I was one of them also. We all disobeyed Baba. And so I was standing there and watching Baba. Baba got up and everybody shouting, Avtar Mein Baba Ki Jai. And then he slowly walked towards the, you know, the room where the women stay, from the central hall of Guru Prasad. And he was just near the door. At that time, the whole crowd was, you know, watching Baba on their toes, you know, to see Baba for the last time. And so was I at one corner. And just then I began to cry, and I said, I felt in my heart, oh Baba, when will I see you again? Just then Baba turns around, looks at me and says, you come here tomorrow. You get that? You know, how loving he was. Once, I remember when he had the severe pain in his neck, cervical spondylosis, a very big medical term. It means a degeneration of the spine in this neck region. And he had excruciating pain. I remember it was just terrible. And Baba had that collar so that he couldn't move his neck. If he had to turn, he had to turn end block, you know, the whole body had to be turned like that. Every movement of the neck was so painful. And I remember I was at Navsari and Baba was to leave Mirzad and come to Pune. And I knew that Baba was to arrive today, on that particular day. So from the morning I was thinking of Baba, and I was thinking Baba will get into the car, and every bump on that road from Mirzad to Pune, Baba had to suffer so much because of that pain. Every bump was so painful. And the whole day I was just, you know, thinking on this only, that Baba, must he have reached properly? Must the Mandali have taken great care of him, not to give him pain? And the whole day was spoiled, you know, thinking of this only. Next morning I get a telegram from Baba saying, I arrived comfortably, how are you? Uh,
Baba had a soft corner for our center, the center at Navsari. And each month he make Eru to write a letter to us. And something or other, some news from Baba would definitely come each month. And our center was one center. I don't want to boast about our center, but all the other centers do a lot of Baba work, you know, spreading Baba's messages in the villages and things like that. We also used to do that. But we used to never send reports to Baba. Every other center, every program that they did, they'd send a big, huge type report to Baba saying that we did this. We felt that Baba knows everything, there's no need to send him any reports. And therefore we never sent reports. And yet, every month Baba would write to us. So once it so happened that for 3 months we had not heard from Baba. And all of us were feeling, well, sort of in the blues, why Baba's forgotten us, you know. So every Sunday evening we go for a walk. All the Baba lovers get together and we go to a walk. We go for a walk to the riverside outside the town. And I remember we were on the bridge. And one of the Baba lovers says, Guruji, I think Baba's forgotten us. Because there's no letter since 3 months. So maybe. Next morning, telegram from Baba. How are my lovers at Navsari? Some people, you know, with some people, you see Baba and it clicks. And with fellows like me, it took years. I remember one fellow in a place, in a small village. He was a genuine seeker, and one day it so happened that a Baba lover came in his village talking about Baba. So he heard this Baba lover talking, and as soon as he heard Mayor Baba's name and all that this man had to say, he felt, this is the person I am seeking for. So he went up to that man and asked him about Baba and collected information about Baba, and then he wrote to Adi, and Adi sent him Baba's literature, and he read Baba's literature, and he really felt that here my search is finished. I don't have to go anywhere now. And then his family also got interested in Baba, and they said, let's go to see Baba. He says, if we really love Baba, we don't have to go to see Baba. Baba will come here someday. If our love is really, really sincere, Baba will come to us. And it so happened that Baba came to their village to give darshan. And it was a joy for that family. For years they had been waiting for Baba. And thousands of people collected. And when Baba came and sat there, and all of these fellows came to see Baba, when this family, particular family, came to Baba, and this man in particular, when he came to see Baba, he stood in front of Baba, bowed down, and Baba knew his inside, the sincerity there. So Baba says, ask for anything you want. I hope he had asked me that. So he said, ask for anything. He says, Baba, I don't want anything. I just want you now. That's all I want. So Baba says, are you willing to sacrifice anything for that? He says, yes. So Baba says, what? He says, this. Willing to cut my throat for you. Baba just embraced him. And this man, a real gem of a man. Baba would always say, this is a sign for a gem. Gem means, you know, a gem is a gem in a ring. And any real good lover, he'd point out and tell me, you know, here is a gem. And many times I tell you, we lived with Baba, played with Baba, and some people who had never seen Baba came for the first time to Baba, and Baba pointed out, he's a gem. So there are many lovers who never met Baba, or probably met him once only, but they were real good gems. And this fellow was a gem. And I remember a few days before Baba passed away, Baba was in strict seclusion at that time, but he sent this man a letter. And the letter said that your love for me touches my divine love. You are blessed. He's still there, this man. You know Siddhuji? Siddhuji, the man who takes care of Muhammad. This man came to Baba in 1924. For the first time he came to see Baba. He was very poor. He came to Baba and he said, Baba, I want to join you. Just first glance at Baba and he said, I want to join you. So Baba said, you come back after a year. So he came back after a year. This was in 1925 when Baba was talking. And Baba says, will you stay with me? He says, yes, Baba. Will you do everything that I say? Yes, Baba. Everything? Yes, Baba. Will you clean the toilets? He says, yes, Baba. Will you attend to the patients in the hospital? Baba had a small hospital there. He says, yes, Baba. I'll do anything you say, but keep me with you. That's all. You know, that past connections with Baba were there, and he joined Baba. And Baba made him do anything from cleaning toilets to attend to the patients to becoming a barber and to do anything, and he'd do it with love, and he really loved Baba. One day this Siddhuji poor fellow fell ill and he became unconscious for 13 days and 13 nights, completely unconscious. And in those days the treatment for unconsciousness was, I really wonder how, what it was at that time. Anyway, after 13 days this fellow recovered. And Baba was at his bedside on the 13th day, and this fellow just opened his eyes after 13 days of being unconscious, and the first thing to see was Baba's smiling face. And he got up from the bed and embraced Baba and said, Baba, it's because of you I've lived. I wouldn't have come back again. I have nothing to give to you. What can I give you? Baba just embraced him and said, your love. How well these stories never finish. I'll tell you about Mera before we pass. How Mera really loved Baba. And that Baba always said that Mera loves me as I should be loved. And I used to really wonder how Mera loved Baba and why shouldn't we love Baba in the same way. What is the difference between her love and my love? And here Baba showed us during the 62 savas. You know, anything that you wanted, Baba would give you an explanation for it. And this was what he showed me, I remember. 62 savas, Baba had the same pain in the neck. And it was terrible. And I know when he came on the stage and sat down with 5,000 of his lovers in front of him, he'd be so happy and smiling and jovial and everything, embrace people, and he'd do anything for the lovers because, as Baba said, he was the slave of his lovers. But as soon as he came inside, Dr. Gaur and myself would see Baba, and the pain, because for 3 hours moving about like this, you know, at darshan time, how people come and embrace Baba and press him and do anything that they want to do. It's all out of love they do it. They don't know that they are causing trouble to Baba. So during this time, I remember I was standing just beyond the stage and 5,000 pairs of eyes watching Baba, and all of a sudden Adi comes on the stage. And Baba sitting there, he comes behind Baba's right shoulder and tells Baba something in his ear. Well, naturally when somebody talks from behind, Baba had to turn a wee bit in order to see who it was. And Adi went on talking and Baba had his head turned a wee bit. 5,000 of us watching Baba, and Mera was behind Baba, behind curtains. You know, they never used to come out in public at that time. Behind curtains, from a small chink in the curtains, she was watching Baba, and immediately she sent a message to Adi saying, Adi, don't stand at the back, stand in front of Baba and talk. The love that she had, you know, because Baba had to turn his head and that caused him more pain. So she, looking from the back, she told Adi, go in front and talk. I mean, we all love Baba, but how much love she had for Baba that she could appreciate that Baba was suffering more by this fellow talking in the back, and therefore she asked him to go in front. This is one thing that Baba showed me. And another time, I remember during the same savas, one day she sent a cushion from inside with orders to Erath that remove the cushion behind Baba's back and put this one in. So when the cushion arrived, Erath just told Baba, Baba, please bend a little in front. And Erich removed that cushion and put this other cushion down behind Baba's back. And that cushion which he removed was completely full of sweat. How much love, you know, when you have that degree of love, everything for the beloved, you never think of your own self.
You just want to think of your beloved, so much of your beloved, that every thought of yourself has disappeared completely. And really, Mera love Baba as he should become. Thank you.
And I want to say that it is that same love that brought you and your lovely wife here. It's that same love that brought us all together here tonight and brings us together always. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this that you brought us, Doctor. So we bother to leave us in the prayer of repentance.
Expecting to see him because I knew very well that his instructions to his brothers were not to come to see him or even request to see him during this period of his seclusion. At any rate, I was in touch with Agatiyuani, Baba's secretary, and he was eager, if not, to have a chance to see Baba since that totally precluded to at least come in contact with his lovers. To hear what they had to say about their time spent with Baba and their feelings and experiences with him. And so I wrote to Adi asking for addresses of nearby Baba centers and whether I knew I was going in a specific direction. I would get the address of perhaps the Baba Center in New Delhi or in Srinagar, Kashmir. And at a certain time I had a text from my city of headquarters, Ahmedabad, to take a small vacation. I planned to go to Bombay and to Pune with that vacation because they were two big central fellows. I was very close to two major areas of Baba lovers. And so when I arrived in Bombay, I was informed that Baba had called me to see him for 10 minutes. And then when that meeting actually came to be on August 15th, which was Independence Day in India, he asked me first, "How did you sleep on the train last night?" As I came from Bombay to Pune, I said, "Fine, it slept very well." But I said, "My mind was really inactive, very excited." He said, "Huh? As if he needed to ask why. Excited to meet you at this rare chance in the midst of your seclusion." He smiled and said, "Yes. You're fortunate to be here now because my seclusion begins from today. Will be more strict than ever before, and even the closest people in Ahmednagar and the dearest lovers will not be seeing them. And only outside of my immediate mandali, my close disciples, are those people whom I call specifically for my work." And so he said, "No more, pay more attention to the mind, this mind that I had said was so excited." The nature of the mind has every kind of thought, good and bad. Let it be one thing in your heart. Let it be strive to see me as I really am. He said, "You should pay no attention to the spiritual path, to the plane, meaning the plane of consciousness, or to any spiritual experiences. Everything is toys for children, because they're nothing but illusions. No one strives to see me this is a very key part of what he said, and three or four times during my short meeting he used those very words, saying that now these things, concerning yourself mentally with the planes and spirituality, or seeking any kind of spiritual experience, has nothing to do with the fact of my being here, the fact that my manifestation is so close. You must strive to see me as I really am. And I had the impression that he was simply saying, in a different way, but Christ was saying, leave everything that you think to be spirituality, that you're not accustomed to thinking is spirituality, and follow me, finding out who I really am. He said, how long will you see me as I am? And he answered his question by longing to see me. Where will you get the longing? Yeah. By loving me. And about this point, Bala sat back and looked at me and said, God proposes and man disposes. And I looked at him with a smile on my face and puzzles. He repeated, God proposes and man disposes. And then he said, I have proposed to bring you here for just a few minutes and then send you away. But you propose, that's my proposal. I want you to stay for a while longer. He said, have you met Francis Brabazon? Eric was sitting at my side, translating, interpreting what Baba was saying in gestures, and just past Eric, further to the left, was Francis, sitting on the floor, with a sheaf of papers nearby. I said, well, I've read some of what Francis has written, and I certainly know about him, but I haven't met him. Who's Francis? Who's Francis? And he shook hands with Francis. And Mama indicated that Francis should read a certain poem song that she had just recently composed with a reference to LSD in it. The one line that referred to LSD went something like this. Don't slow me down by offering me a trip on LSD. I travel unencumbered, guided alone by love. See? And then Baba asked Francis to read a guzzle. And Baba said, do you know what a guzzle is? I said, well, I think that a guzzle is that kind of song that comes out of us. And I'm on the sixth plane, the highest saints who see nothing but God around them, and out of their intense longing to be united with their beloved whom they see face to face, because they don't experience in themselves, they pour out these beautiful songs. I was smiling, but yes, that's desolate. And Francis mentioned that Hafiz was the recognized master of the Ghazal, and that what he had written in English was patterned after this form of Persian poetry, which Hafiz had made so famous. And he wrote a Ghazal which used some of the imagery of Persian poetry, some of the idea of the intoxication of the wine and the tavern of Abbas Mundali and his camp. And it was a superb poem which expressed the utter hopelessness and loneliness of a man who looks into the door at the tavern keeper and has once had a drop and is just waiting for him to refill his glass, to fill it full with the the wine which will make him perfect, make him know as the beloved as he is. It was beautiful for him. The Baba was sitting there rocking back and forth, snapping his fingers when certain words, key words that brought fruit out of the poem appeared. He snapped his fingers and smiled. Then, as soon as that ended, he indicated to another envoy to Baba's right, with the poem opposite him, indicated to Aloba, Baba's first in the to put a couplet of Hafiz. Baba translated that couplet as follows. Millions, mighty Dubai, unicorns, only two cross the threshold. The couplet just reads that. The first line of the couplet. Millions of many frogs stand in a queue to cross the threshold. Every time that I have rewritten it, almost as clearly as if it were added when I heard it, the point to me that the threshold is the threshold to the God mind. The literal translation is simply the threshold. But very clearly in that context, the threshold is that of God. New ones of men's God stand in a queue to just cross the threshold of the God man, and one crosses the threshold. The second line of the couplet reads, out of millions who cross the threshold, one can see Baba indicated that the time had come. The meeting was just about over. The time was nearly up. In a flash, his face turned so serious that I started into a moment of timelessness and looking at him. I'd never seen an expression like this before in my life. It was far beyond any human expression I had ever seen. An expression of seriousness so deep that it made me think only God can be that serious. And he spelled out four words which seemed to come out very true. Don't let me down. He said, the most important thing for you is to hold fast to my Dhamma. What does holding the Dhamma mean? He asked. It means obeying me implicitly, giving completely what I say. And the last word is this thing, that I am God. And one more embrace with Baba. And he had one in the beginning, a very warm and beautiful embrace, and the final. And then he walked out. And spent about an hour talking with Erich and Adi and Francis and Naila and Sip and then. At one point, Baba sent a plate of two mangoes from the trees which the monks had given him, the mango trees out of the Marathon. One mango was completely green, but absolutely unripe. The other was golden. Yet both were perfectly ripe. Mani, Baba's brother, and Baba's sister, came out. For just a moment, she said, oh, very busy, but I wanted to come out and say hello. And there was another thing. And then, after about 30 or 40 minutes passed, Father called me back and said, "Final class." Baba was about to retire from the hall, meeting with the disciples. no love in terms of having any kind of spiritual experience, nothing out of the ordinary. But afterwards, I began to realize that while I was sitting there, I had felt a permeation, something at least tangible, moving from Bala to me, which could be described only by the word love. As if love were an element, like water or wind, just moved across the room to me, entered in, as if it were a force that Baba was radiating. It didn't make me feel unnatural at the time, but later that feeling grew more and more clear in my mind, a feeling of that penetration, that warmth. I think time was so short that there wasn't time to be fascinated by any kind of experience, feeling, or sensation at the time. Time was very short, and I knew it. And I think this was mainly on Baba's face and what was being felt by him. But that experience of simply feeling his love and the warmth of being in his arms and his embrace grew more and more clear afterwards, more strong. As if the embrace of the moment were simply the beginning of something that didn't end when he took his arms away. A more enduring warmth and love than I have ever experienced, and from my experience, more enduring than I knew that human beings experience in ordinary life. The rest of the year was spent. Naturally, there were 8 or 9 months remaining. Many things were done, but all the things seemed to fall away, and the 3 tours that I took seemed to stand up with great prominence, almost like watersheds and all the rest of the experience, even though it was full and exciting, being in India seems to have almost retreated down to the bottom of the valley of my recollection. The 3 tours that I took to visit lovers lasted 3 weeks and 2 weeks and 6 or 7 weeks, respectively. One went north, one went east to Calcutta, one went down south into the state of Andhra. Mama's right and left hand have been said to be Hamirpur district and Andhra Pradesh, because of the love which they manifest for him. Hamirpur is in the interior of India, economically very backward, a village community, many villages in poor and dusty soil, so dusty that you cannot hope symptoms in making the connection with Baba's husband. Reminder of the last beginning of everything is dusty in this, just the dust falls in the people, in the villages where Baba has visited in 52, I think, in 53, or 53, 54. 2 times in Hamirpur district, he went through a bullet charge by perhaps one fire, one jeep that was available now. Visiting villages, giving mass darshan, eventually in that very area proclaiming that he was Avatar Mahiravada after going through 3 years of the new life. And the people, the first one was brief contact, the day, that's the way today, and that's the way. Without much discourse of things, you know, given at that time. People who know little or nothing about God speaks and Baba's concepts of reincarnation and these people, this day in life for Baba. These are the first people who built, not a temple, but an abode, a building for meeting together in Baba's name and for worshiping in Baba's name. These are people who sing late into the night, not just on special occasions, but after work is done, getting together and singing bhajan. People would dance through the streets. When I would come to different villages, people would meet outside the village, 200, 300, 400 of them, and then form a procession carrying a large photograph of Baba. Along the lanes, women would be standing with urns of oil burning flame in the evening, and as the evening became night, the flames would stand along the lanes, and the procession would come along. And then women would come out of their homes, men would come out of their shops, and do arati before Baba's photograph, which was more than a photograph, but a living presence, because they made it so, because they had Baba in their heart. It was one of the first and few times that I felt that these were not ceremonies, but an expression through a channel that was known to them of their very deep love and their great joy. And for an hour, the procession would wind through a village, and people would come out and worship before Baba and sing, and people would dance for an hour without stopping. And the dust would go up and then settle, and then wind its way out, maybe a quarter of a mile outside the village, to the place where they had built a temple, but not a temple, because a temple is a place where worship is done with ceremonies and rituals, and God says, none of them. Those things cover me up, and only pure worship reveals me. That is where he first gave that message for this place, and he called it Meher Dham, abode of Meher. And for 2 or 3 hours, people would sit and sing, and we would talk about the only thing that exists in their life. And the man who was with me, more or less as my guide, would point out in the group who was singing legends, you see that man? He is formerly complete untouchable in his family. And this one is a Brahmin. And they sit and sing together with no difference, because they know now there is no difference. Because they're exposing with Baba and all, inspired so deeply that they all do come up with great joy and grace. And in Andhra, for the end of the year, I spent 6 weeks traveling through Andhra, day after day, in different cities and towns and villages, and several centers celebrate Baba's birthday for 73 days. They use different means for celebrating. They do different things. A common thing is Namajap, repetition of Baba's name continuously in one spot, day and night. Almost all of the centers have either 73 hours of Namajap in honor of his 73rd birthday, or 7 days of Namajap, or in some rare occasions where a center is so enthusiastic that it can sustain it, 73 days of 24 hours a day of Namajap, where every hour someone comes and replaces the person who's in the center, repeating Baba's name mentally or orally, as they will, but repeating it. and for 73 days. This continues. Little children take part in it, 5 years old. They can sit for an hour on the Republican. I read in one place where Baba said, these things are very helpful in my life. They're helpful to me. And many people understand Baba in many different ways. The great value of seeing so many lovers was to give an idea of so many approaches to Baba, so many brands of love. And to awaken the realization that Baba's lovers are very valuable, because even if they approach Baba in a way that is entirely different from your own, you can sometimes see such sincerity or authenticity, such reminders that simply reflect to you something that needed to be reflected, show an incompleteness, something that is missing, something that is good to think of. And coming in contact with Baba lovers has the inevitable value of simply reminding you of the only thing worth pursuing. At least you know there, however a man approaches Baba, he has found him, has decided on him, and for him Baba is the only thing worthwhile. And to see such a man, well, it's rare enough to find a lover of God in the world, but to find a lover of the God-man living today reminds you of your self-vowed duty to remember Baba, to not let him down, to be true to the trust which he has given us by simply sharing his secret. With this minority of people on earth who know that the name of God that will lead them to God himself is Mishnu Baba. He's shared this gem with us, this treasure, almost as a secret. However public people may have talked about Baba in the past decade, few people know about him. Much fewer accept him as the God-man. And so it is still as if a secret that God lives in human form now. And that connection with him, a moment's attention to him, is worth any amount of struggle and prayer and effort unguided, undirected toward the source of everything. So he has given us everything with the trust that we will use it and not abandon it and not misuse it and not put it in a drawer and close the drawer and take it out on special days and retire it. He's given us a name that will fill the searchlight for completely eradicating our heart of everything that is not him if we use that name, because he promises, I am with you and I will help you. Rely on me. And in the last message that he sent to Eric before I left Plymouth, he said, give my love to all my lovers. For my lovers. There can be no more valuable preoccupation. The main interest is Baba, with whom you can most easily talk about that which is dear to you. Probably in some way it's going to be on top. Surely. Surely such a the last No, I'm going to be in San Francisco at the end of this year. At the end of this summer, but I've got to go out there earlier than the end. After I go to Boston, I will go to Denver. From Denver to San Francisco. Maybe I don't have a chance. You give me her address. No. The Fulbright Foundation and I said goodbye.
If you did tell me, she would have been sent to the star by the star.
Yes, I am.
And you have been pulling out of the